Hello, and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Armand Paradis, co-founder and CEO of ComboCurve, a cloud-based energy analytics and operating platform that more effectively forecasts and reports on energy assets. Armand and I discuss his career and the problems his software is solving, as well as how he's managed to scale so quickly and raise over $60 million in venture funding to support the company's growth. Armand, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie.
I'm excited to learn more about your career, so let's just start there. Tell me a little bit about your background in engineering and what led to you founding ComboCurve.
Cool. So yeah, I've been an engineer all my career, so super passionate about the energy space. And so my career started, I graduated from University of Louisiana and then started working for Mary Energy for 4 or 5 years. And then I moved to Houston working for Statoil, which is Equinor right now. So I was involved in all aspects of the running an E&P. So from basically planning a well, drilling, completion, workovers, and the economics. And in Equinor, I was working on unconventional assets, mainly Marcellus and Utica assets. And one thing that stuck to me from the first day, and it was very obvious, it was a lot of tools that we were using to make very expensive decisions. So we were making on day-to-day a lot of minimum $100,000 decisions on the, and without doing a lot of work, correct? So, and without being super confident in our analysis. And the problem obviously wasn't the people. We had a lot of bright people, a lot of smart people, and we have a lot of caring people. And it was mainly about the tools. We didn't have the right tools. And particularly the part that I was mainly concerned was economics and cash flow analysis. You know, so from the first day that I opened up the software that was very common in the industry was Airy. So to open it up and then use it, it was extremely hard to see how it works. And with very, very long learning curve. And I figured it's very error-prone process and that you can easily make mistakes. And then mistakes are very expensive mistakes because these are economic decisions. And in our space, all the decisions are expensive pretty much, correct? So you're not talking about like a cheap decision is like 100,000. So, and then it can go all the way to billions of dollars of decisions, correct? So we were using software from 30, 40 years ago with very minimum updates. And I really thought this is a problem because in today's day and age, a lot of companies, a lot of industries using cloud computing, significantly more modern interface, much easier to use, significantly less learning curve, and much more available educational material, correct? So however, that wasn't the case for the software. So that was one piece of the problem. And then, but it didn't stop there. So you're talking about all the other workflows that has to feed the key workflow of running your economics and the cash flows. You were supposed to use so many other softwares and Excel sheets that, again, they were old tools as well. And also they weren't fully connected. So it means you have to do part of the work in one platform and then bring it to the other platform. So, and that wasn't sustainable. And it was like, especially across a big team, because you're talking about this information has to get updated every day, this analysis updates every day. And then you have to have a bunch of people getting data from different teams, convert it from one format to another format, and then bring it all into one platform. So it was a lot of work to get the, to run your asset pretty much. So I saw that this is a big problem, and then this is really hinder us from making efficient and fast decisions and even quality decisions. So we were spending a lot of work that instead of focusing on the technical work that matters, we would focus on data transfer conversions from one tool to another tool and just figuring out a way to collaborate together. So it was very, very hard, honestly, and the iteration was taking forever. Like if you just want to do a simple iteration on lateral length or well spacing or any other development plan, was taking months to do, and obviously that's not a sustainable business model, correct? So, and especially during the low commodity prices, that was a bigger problem, and because every dollar matters. And again, so this problem again, like I said, is still exists. And as a big problem, as a big opportunity, and that was the idea behind the CombiCare. So I left Equinor in 2017, and my goal was to build a platform that the entire asset team and the finance team, everybody can collaborate, and they can build their business plan in CombiCare, they can report their reserves in CombiCare and collaborate in a modern cloud-based platform with all the bells and whistles they need, and constantly get their feedback and improve it and build basically an ecosystem of the engineers and the finance people and G&G people working together internally and also externally with third parties as well. So very big vision and a very big idea, and I figure the only way we can do this if we have a real funding. And that was the time that I met my partner, Jeremy Gottlieb, and me and him, we teamed up, and we went after fundraising, and it took us almost 6-7 months to get the funding, and we got our funding from Rice Brothers. So it was at a time that exited the company to EQT back in 2017, 2018 timeframe. So that's when the company actually started it, like getting shape, hiring more people, and putting dev teams behind the product and getting after it.
Yeah, well, fast forward to now, you have customers on the platform using it. So how does the technology work? What are you able to provide these customers, and what feedback do you get from them as they get to use it?
So we have spent almost from 2018 that we raised our capital, we started building the platform from scratch. And it took us almost 2 years to build a version one that we released in May 2020. So it was during the heart of the COVID and the negative oil prices. So the sentiment was terrible in the market. And but we figured we don't have a lot of options. We just have to compensate for working harder and meeting more people. So we released in May 2020, and we were hoping first year have 10 clients and call it wonderful, correct? And we finished the year with 50 companies, and so above and beyond expectation. And we signed up a lot of large companies, a lot of small companies, a lot of mineral companies, EMPs, banks. So it was very, very motivating to see the reception in the market. And the reason was, obviously, we built something that resonated with the market, with the people, and also we were super passionate about the product and also taking care of our industry, correct? So we believe always clients are the kings, always you have to be super responsive, take their feedback and just implement their feedback quickly and give them response and build a world-class platform and just don't scope it and say to oil and gas and, like, you don't want to be the best in the oil and gas. You want to be the best software company. So that was our goal. And then if you put your, just think about it, if that's your goal, the success comes, correct? So, so first year from May 2020 to the end of the year, we brought 50 companies. And in 2021, we brought additional 100 companies. So we ended up 2021 with 150 companies. And currently we are getting close to 200 companies. So it's been roughly 2 years since the release. So we are the fastest growing energy tech company. And we getting feedback from so many heavy users in our platform on day to day basis, and right now we have roughly 50-60 full-time software developers and data scientists that every day we take this feedback and we communicate with the clients, making sure we understand the priorities and sort them, and we make releases on an almost monthly basis. So we make new releases and apply their feedback and constantly improving the platform and giving them better quality, faster, and a more robust solution every day.
Yeah, well, that's some significant, you know, scaling you've had to do in such a short time. And I think that was made possible by, you know, some of these fundraising rounds. And you mentioned too, you know, you had your Series A and now recently Series B at 50 million. So tell me a little bit about that funding process, what that's really enabled and how it's helped you get to that scaling velocity that you have.
Yeah, in 2018, we got our basically seed funding, $1.5 million, and that was from the Rice brothers, and in 2021, almost in the middle of the year, I think it was June, July, we raised $11 million Series A, and just three months ago, we closed our Series B. We raised additional $50 million. So with that much capital in hand, so we were able to materially scale the team and bring a lot more developers, a lot of great talents in our company. And we hired a lot of students and the interns as well. So basically, right now our model is if we take a dollar from clients, we triple it, we put it back into the software. We want our platform to be the best software in the energy space. And also we want to be role model for other software companies as well. Not necessarily, like I said, in the oil and gas or energy, so we want to be the role model for software companies, period. So we want to have the best customer service and the best product and constantly innovate and bring better solution for the industry to make it more efficient and more robust.
Yeah, what would you say is the biggest challenge for you over the years? Obviously creating the product, fundraising to grow the product, and now really deploying that capital. What's been the most challenging process and why?
So the biggest challenge, the challenge just changes in time, so at any step. So obviously building the product, building the quality product is not easy at all, especially in the, oil and gas space, because we're dealing with a lot of smart engineers and these guys want very sophisticated functionality, which is not easy to build, correct? So that is one of the challenge, but again, we know the space very well, so we can figure that piece out. And then the other challenge, I would say, is scaling and then being able to work in harmony and efficiently and effectively. Because as you grow in your client base and user base, and as you become a bigger company and bring in more solution, maintaining it, it becomes tougher and tougher, correct? And just to figure out how to build that culture and build a system that scales is not easy. And money is not always the problem, correct? So obviously fundraising is not easy, but once you get the funding, the actual responsibility actually starts. You have to deliver. So you made promises to your people, you made promises to your client, you made promises to your investors. So it's a lot of responsibility on everyone's shoulder, but it's exciting and it's fun, you know. So it's a great opportunity, you know, for everyone in our company to build the world-class software company in the world. We want to be the best, you know. Every day, new stuff, bringing new technologies, stay ahead of the curve, and so that requires a lot of hard work, and a lot of late hours. But it pays off because people see the effort, and so far, company has been super supportive, and we have a great people, great industries. All we have great relationships, and we definitely appreciate all those great support from our clients.
Well, you talked a lot about scaling and growing your team to provide that next level support and engineering. So how was hiring? How did you tackle hiring so many people so fast and still maintain that quality that you were looking for?
So yeah, like we had a year ago, we were roughly, I would say this time last year, we were roughly, 30 people. Right now we're getting close to 120 people. So it's a huge growth. And how did we achieve that piece? Like, again, I mean, we've been in touch with a lot of people past 3-4 years, correct? So we built a lot of relationship already. And so a lot of it goes through word of mouth, like people referring their friends. And so the way that we do our hiring, a lot of it's done through just, again, our relationships, and LinkedIn is very valuable for us. So again, we make sure we bring people that they understand the industry and understand the problem themselves. And also we have great basically hiring process as well. So we make sure we have enough people and enough testing to make sure that we constantly keep the bars high. And also, so that's one piece of the puzzle. I mean, hiring great people, but more importantly, it's the company culture. So if you bring a team of genius people and just put in a bad culture, that project's 100% going to fail. But company culture and the motivation in the team and the fire just makes people contribute, correct? So, and when you see a team of people that they care about stuff every day, and then they want to make things better, it just naturally builds an amazing company naturally, correct? So because people look up to other role models in the company, if those guys deliver, it motivates them to work harder and work smarter and deliver as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a whole, aspect that startups have to focus on more than companies, I think, because like people expect, if you're working for a startup, it's like super fun, but also, you have a lot of responsibility because you're really building this company. And so it's hard to maintain that balance, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Definitely not easy. But again, once you keep a happy, positive culture and also keeping the bars high, so you just, the system take care of itself by a lot, correct? So, and then having great processes in place. And obviously we are learning every day, we haven't done it before. So it's a great learning for us. But so far I say we are moving in the right path very quickly. We learn very quickly, and we talk to a lot of people who have done it before, so we don't make the same mistakes. And we're making sure that we're using the right internal technologies as well and right tools and make decisions fast and iterate fast, correct? So if there is learning to be made, you want to learn it quickly, correct? So yeah.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the energy industry is undergoing a massive transition toward, less carbon. How does that play into what you're doing at Combo Curve? How have you future-proofed your concept to keep up with this transition?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, actually, this is great. This is great that it's happening. We want little our industry to be proactive about it. And we want to be the role model, correct? So we want to be the companies that really be super proactive in the environmental practices. We don't want other industries talk negative about us. So to be able to do that, in my opinion, we have to be more open and more proactive in terms of reducing our emissions. So anything that we can take care of ourselves, let's do it, correct? So and that's one piece. And the other piece is, let's talk about it. Let's say that we are doing all this great work. So our industry does a lot of amazing work, but unfortunately we don't market it to the public, and we stay quiet. I think that something has to be changed. So in my opinion, all energies matters. Like, we need energy, so we need oil and gas, we need renewable, we need nuclear, we need geothermal, and we can be the companies that take control of that, correct? So we have a lot of experts, and we are doing a lot of complex projects, and the knowledge that we have in the oil and gas space is applicable to a lot of other industries, including renewable. So that's just the mindset that we have to promote, and instead of saying, oh, renewable is against us, us against them. It's just that's a bad mindset, in my opinion. So and we want to be, again, the software company that, again, we want to expand to renewable as well. So we do, we learn every day right now. So we do a lot of research in that space, but we believe a lot of technologies that we built already is, we can expand it to renewable as well and take our technology to renewable. And going back to emission reduction or emission, so this is very important. So this is going to be a very key initiative for a lot of companies. And that's something that's going to be dictated by investors, banks. So, and everybody has to do something about it, correct? So so currently a lot of project valuations, economics, and forecasting that has been done traditionally didn't take emission into consideration. So, and again, legacy tools like Aries and PHEVs of the world, they are not innovating, correct? So they are years behind. So, and we took that responsibility, and we want to bring that integration between emission and the economics in one platform, so you can do more robust economics and see the impact of emission on your economics and asset valuation. And that's something SEC cares, EPA cares, and the banks cares, and government, everybody. So this is an initiative that we are taking right now, and we plan to release our GHG module this year. And we are working with a handful of operators that have a lot of experience in this space. So we are in the right path, basically. So we want to integrate that, and so operators can predict their emissions and see the impact on their projects, valuations, and economics.
Well, that's really cool, and probably something that's, you know, very needed in the space. Something you said really struck me too, of how, you know, the energy industry doesn't talk about what it's doing very well. And I think that's, you know, kind of just been in place because of the, we've kind of invented these silos between businesses because of the competition versus collaboration. And I just wonder, from your perspective of, you know, obviously working with a bunch of different companies of different sizes, of different specialties, you know, is that changing? Are the silos like coming down, or the walls coming down, I guess? Do you see more collaboration in the effort for innovation happening now versus, you know, several years ago?
I mean, companies know collaboration matters a lot, again, internally and externally. And then, but the key is there's not a real tool. There's not a real software for the platform for it in the energy space. And that's what ComboCave comes to play. We want all engineers, finance, G&G, managers, everybody to collaborate internally and externally, correct? Going back to that environmental and GHG related stuff, correct? So we know a lot of companies doing a lot of great things in terms of reducing their emissions and the footprint, carbon footprint, but they don't talk about it, they don't market it, they don't say it to the public, correct? So and sometimes or if they do it, they do it very, they don't do it the best job, in my opinion. So we have to talk about it a lot more and say we are the oil and gas industry in the US, they are at the top in compared to the rest of the world, correct? So so if you guys really care about the planet, we need oil and gas right now for materials, raw materials. I mean, it doesn't matter how much EVs are in the market, you still need materials, and the materials, raw materials, oil and gas is one of the key components to it, correct? So EVs solve the problem of not burning oil in the tank, correct? So that's the percentage of oil and gas goes toward burning, but a huge percentage of it goes toward material, and that you cannot replace it with renewable. So a lot of people don't know these things, correct? Because we don't do a good job of educating people, correct? So, and then it's so easy for other industries just point finger at us, correct? So, and we're not talking about it, we stay quiet. And when we talk about it, we go ahead and attack them. You see, that's just not a healthy environment. And so we have to be proactive and fix that problem, and just educating public and talk positively about all sorts of energy, correct? So, and that builds a better image for us. Investors will come back into the oil and gas. They're coming back right now. But we just have to, like I said, be proactive about it and talk about it and do a great job of building educational material around this topic as well.
Yeah, it's very much like no one is getting the full picture type of issue. But, you know, the conversations need to happen. And I think there's probably no better place for them to happen than in Houston. So I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, the opportunities you've seen here with CombiCurve being based in Houston. You know, access to customers, I'm sure, is a given. But, you know, what other ways has Houston played into your journey in both good ways and bad?
Definitely. Houston is definitely the market for the oil and gas industry. So for us, it hasn't been as much impactful, to be quite honest, because we released our product during the COVID. So everything was done virtually. So we didn't see that impact as much. But right now, things started to change. People want to meet in face to face. So that just makes it easier for us to have those meetings. Maybe on a go forward basis, it would have a bigger role, correct? So far, it didn't impact us as much, to be quite honest, because of the pandemic related stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, looking back at the past few years of growing the company, starting the company, growing the company and establishing its technology, what's, you know, something you've learned along the way that, you know, would have been really helpful to know going into it that you kind of wish you'd known back then?
So one of the key things are never underestimate the complexity of the real world, correct? So that's one of the things are like a lot of people underestimate that. And we realize things are by a factor of 10 or even 20 or even 100 more complex in the real world, correct? So a lot of startup fails because they underestimate that. They don't do enough research to figure out what are those challenges, correct? So if you want to build a company, if you want to start your own company, talk to the right people as much as possible. Don't get super excited about stuff. Like, just do your research, make sure this is the right decision to make, because starting a company is very tough, and also growing the company and make it last. It might not be hard to just kick it off and stay in business for 6 months, a year, or 2 years, but having a long-term plan that you can pass 5 years, 10 years, 20 years goals, that's tough, correct? That's a lot of companies cannot pass that 10 years mark. And so if you have a vision, you have to think about your vision is big enough and it's going to last, and you have that personality as well, because things are, again, significantly tougher in the real world, and you have to have, like, you're going to get a lot more rejection than you think, correct? So more than 90% of me, if not more, will say no to you, and just it makes you a stronger person, but it's just not necessarily the most fun path, I would say. So, and then even when the success happens, your responsibilities become more and more. So again, this just, you have to get prepared for all those stuff if you want to go the path of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, there's a bunch of entrepreneurs listening right now and nodding furiously in agreement, yeah, probably. But
they always say grass is greener on the other side, correct? So it's literally that's the case. So don't make rush decisions. Do your research. Talk to enough people who have done it before. That's the key. Talking to a lot of other people who haven't done it, and they want to preach you, that's just, to me, doesn't have a ton of value. So you want to talk to the people who've been through the past, because all you hear is success stories, correct? Like that's it. That's everywhere in the news and everything. That's just success stories. People not talking about failures. So, and then statistically, more than 99% of those efforts fails. Like they cannot make the 5-year mark. They cannot make 10-year mark, because you might have early time success, but you cannot keep the success.
I like that point you made too about, you know, each phase of a company, you're required something else, something different. You have to be a very, you have to be able to evolve with your company as CEO. So I guess I want to ask you about looking forward. What's your role now? What are you most focused on? What are you most worried about, you know, leading this company in your next phase?
Great point. So, what is one thing that I realize, building a system that scales is the key. And that system, it requires a lot of thought, correct? So, and that separates a successful company versus a failure, correct? So a system that scales and is realistic and is not too complicated to maintain. So that's very important. And the other one is, like I mentioned, the culture of the company is the key. You always want to keep positivity in the company. So you don't want to work with negative people, correct? It just doesn't solve anything, because the world is, like I said, there's a lot of challenges. Like, it's so easy to go negative path, correct? And complain and all that stuff. So you don't want that. You don't want to be around that type of environment and people. So you always want to work with the positive people. And so that's another thing. And the other thing is, never quit. So if you know you're on the right path, you just have to know these challenges are normal, correct? So, and then as long as you're working and you iterate fast, you're going to find a solution. But sitting there and doing nothing and just sitting there and think about it, it just doesn't do anything for you. So if you talk to enough people and you come up with a solution, go ahead and try it. If it doesn't work, modify it. If it doesn't, like, majority of those solutions, they're not going to work. That's how it is. That's how, like I said, the real world is very complex. So so you just have to know you're going to iterate maybe 5 or 10 times that eventually come up with a strategy that works. And even that strategy is not perfect, correct? You constantly have to improve it. So so that's the mindset. But you should never stop improving and constantly getting better, learn from your mistakes, and just keep going.
Yeah, there's a very direct similarity to software and startups in that way of the constant improving. There's a new version, update this, your platform. So I think that's exactly. very on point for you to make with Combo Car software.
I always use car companies as an example.
Yeah.
They've been in business 100 years, correct? So many iterations of cars came, correct? But think about a car from 100 years ago to now. So it's just fundamentally does the same thing, but the improvement's been massive, correct? So and that happened just in time, because like I said, things are never perfect, correct? You just have to accept that and then, but constantly working toward making it better.
Yeah. It's encouraging because you can always improve, right? But it's also scary because you always have to improve, right?
Always have to improve, and you should never stop, correct? So the moment you get comfortable, you feel like, oh man, we are in good shape. That's what your competitors comes, correct? So you always have to innovate and differentiate yourself against other people, other companies, and potential competitors, and constantly make your platform better. And that means never stop hustle, correct? So that's what I'm saying. It's not for everyone. So it's just that every day you're going to, like, as you, like, your company grows, as you have more success, you're dealing with tougher problems every day.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It was very enlightening learning about Combo Curve and your path to, constantly evolving this technology to really make an impact on the energy industry. So appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Natalie, for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.